Hey, what's up? We're back from a long overdue of a bonus episode. It's been a long time since I've done a solo one. I was in a good mood today, had lots of energy, and was like, you know what? It's Tuesday. Why not record this tonight so I could put this out for all you guys that have been supporting me and listening to me for all these weeks. This episode is for you guys, so let's get started. Want to let you guys know, for those that are not on Instagram, you're planning on signing up or you're already signed up, and make sure that you follow Dedicated Magazine, because they have announced that they are having a Lowrider of the Year build off. And, this is for radicals, like Lowrider radicals. You got 2 months to build your radical piece. This is all going to start September 1st, and it's going to go all the way to December 1st. So, you got some time. For those that think, like, you know, you want to join, you want to participate, you got what it takes, please hit the guys up, you know, through Instagram, look them up at Dedicated Magazine, send them that DM, be like, yo, what's up? I'm interested in the build off. So this is Lowrider of the Year, radical build off. You can even contact Willie directly, or David, Detail Junkies. But make sure, if you guys are planning on doing this, let them know ahead of time. Don't hit them up like on the first, because it's like, it's closed, you know, the doors are closed. So make sure hit them up before. This is one of the reasons why I also wanted to put out the bonus one, because there's a lot of little things that have been going on, current events, you know, and things that have already even passed as well. Sometimes I'm able to squeeze those things in on the podcast schedule, but sometimes it gets a little difficult because a lot of these episodes, they're pre-recorded, you know, before I put them out. And sometimes an episode might be coming out and then it's like, oh, like there's something coming out, and, you know, I wish I can go back and like refix everything, edit it, but it's just sometimes it's too late because the scheduling is where it gets very difficult. And this is something that I've been learning the more as I'm going towards the future, growing up, and, you know, responsibilities and whatnot are kicking in, just like all of you guys, pretty much, you know. I'm just, with whatever time that I have, I try to do whatever that's gonna bring me happiness and also get the job done and be responsible with whatever I'm doing. So I value my time a lot. And especially having a commute that I do to going to work, back and forth, you know, it's close to an hour. Sometimes I'll get, like, if I get lucky, it's like 35 minutes. But still, a lot of the times, it can be very draining by the time I get home. But at the same time, I'm like, all right, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And then I can chill, you know, and sometimes it gets tough. So I wish I can do like the video podcast every week. I wish I can do that, but in reality right now it's very difficult. So if I'm able to at least produce one a month, I'm happy with that, you know. And eventually, once everything gets settled and I get the ball rolling more, then I will be able to do 2 videos episodes a month. You know, that would be more ideal, something I would love to do. But I don't want to stop these weekly podcasts. Like, I gotta keep them going, you know. We're getting close to hitting episode 100, which I'm very excited about. Right now, currently, you could be listening to episode 86 with Henry Espinoza. Had a great time talking to Henry. You know, I felt like he took me back. And just remembering, dude, I want to see the VHS videos of the model shows that he talked about. I want to see that. Even if it's just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it don't matter. I want to see something. I want to get a glimpse, you know, of how it was. I thought it was so cool that he was saying that he was recording this stuff there at the time. And anybody out there who listens to this that builds models or used to, you're retired, you know, if you have footage or have a friend or anybody who might have that footage of anything from whatever, from the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, please hit me up. Would love to see some of that footage. You know, that would be pretty rad to see that there. Speaking of all this footage, I've been in talks with Jeffries. We've been talking about, you know, when he came out here long time ago, like the first times he came out here, he's been on top of it. He's been documenting, you know, things he's been doing and people he's been meeting and stuff. So he's got something very special that he shared to me that I got to see that I was like, wow, man, like this is crazy. I've never been there. I got to see it, got a glimpse, and it's just like mind blowing. So I'm not gonna like get on to detail about it or whatever, but it is something that's in the works, and you know, once everything is a go and set, 'cause I mean this is something he recorded. This is something, you know, this is his. So I will let you guys know of where to view and listen. All right? So I'll keep you guys posted on that. So this weekend, Saturday, the 24th of August. Man, this month's already ending. Like this whole year is already going by. But this Saturday coming up, there's going to be an event, Southern California in San Diego. So if you guys don't have nothing to do and you want to bust a road trip, or you're a local living close to San Diego or in the city of San Diego, you want to make sure you go out and check this out. So La Vuelta is going to be going down, and La Bodega Gallery presents La Vuelta Photography and Art Show. This art show is going to be having the Lowrider Lane presentation by Armando Flores. That's going to be going down. So Armando's going to be doing this presentation. You're going to see his cars there. Not only are his cars going to be there, but there's also some other model car artists that are also going to be having their cars there as well. Some friends, cars by David DeBacca, Gary Seeds, Cesar Figueroa, and Jarvis Malone. I'm pretty sure there's going to probably be more. I might even, you know, get one of my cars and drive all the way to his house and drop it off and go from there. I unfortunately cannot be there. This weekend happens to be the weekend where I'm going to be headed north because it's my girlfriend's birthday and we got some plans to be out up north. Not like all the way in SF, but I would say maybe like a couple hours north from where I'm at right now, currently recording in the studio, in the basement. Not no basement, but in the studio. And so I'll be heading up there, spending most of my time, obviously. And then once I come back, you know, I'm gonna be tired and whatnot. And then I don't know what I'm gonna do Sunday. You know, I don't know what's going on yet. But Saturday, if you guys wanna be coming out to San Diego, make sure you guys check that out. If you guys want to see the model cars, you could even just walk around. There's going to be lots of things going on. You're going to be able to see some lowrider cars as well. For sure, there's got to be music out there as well. There's restaurants up and down the streets, the bars, you know, all that stuff. It's all going to be out there. So make sure if you're able to go, check that out. I also wanted to shout out Alex Ramirez, because he did have just recently an event last weekend, which was the Model Cars and Coffee event. And I wanted to give props to him because that was something that he put together. If you've already heard him, he has been on a previous past episode that I had him on the show. And you know, he expressed his vision and his love for the model cars, and also like the reason why he wants to do these shows, and just thinking about the future of how far he would like to take it, you know? So I did spread the word on it. I did whatever I could to let people know he did it. I saw the pictures. They looked dope. People came out, they put their models on there, and I just wanted to give them props. That's pretty cool. I like that you're putting yourself out there, you're doing that, you know, taking that risk. And I mean, it's like no one is obligating you to do this. You know, you're doing it on your own. You're taking your time, you know, your everything, your energy, everything to set all this up. So that's pretty cool, man. Props to you. And also wanted to mention that and I wanted to thank and shout out Iceman Collections, because in my hands right now, as you can hear this. This is a plastic little bag full of steering wheels. I got these really rad steering wheels for the model cars. And man, they're so detailed, so tiny, like the perfect size for the model car. And I'm just like so happy with these. Just looking at them, it's like all these ideas just come out, chrome plating them, you know, putting them on the cars and whatnot. And man, you're on the right foot right here. I've been noticing he's been producing more stuff, 3D printing, not just only the steering wheels, but there's also like crates that he's doing. I believe he's gonna be doing wheels as well. So there's a lot going on right there that looks like a very promising future for Iceman Collections, with all these accessories that he's also going to be bringing to the table. I know there's a lot of other people out there also creating stuff, but it's always cool when you see someone else bringing something new to the table, and just bringing more stuff in. Because I mean, the more the merrier, you know. You want to have more stuff in your diorama, and everybody works different pace or however, it doesn't matter. You know, if you need something now and this person's got it, boom, order it. If you know, and just if you guys out there wanna support him, hit him up. He is selling this stuff. He has it on his Instagram page, Iceman Collections. Make sure you guys check him out. But man, I can't wait to use these. Right now I still have them in the bag, but once I get back into the groove of things of working on my cars, definitely gonna be rocking these on my model cars. Thank you, dude. These are pretty rad. Love them. And I don't know, just wanted to also chime in on like what I've been up to lately. I know it's been a while. I haven't really been keeping you guys up to date of what I've been up to, like these last, I don't know, like 2, 3, or 4 or a month of weeks. But as of late, I've been actively recording more, producing music. I've been because there so I'm part of like this agency that I've been put on, and that I signed on with, and I've been like submitting music, and you know, they partnered up with another company, so it just grew a little bigger. So it was one of those things where I need to expand my library of sounds, so this way this can help me get some placement. And so I've been kind of balancing with recording the music, more minimal model building, not too much, because I've noticed that I'm into a lot of different things. So I'm into the model cars, I'm into music, I'm into DJing, I'm into Gundams, you know, I'm into the pinstripe. Like, there's just so many things I'm into, but I always divide my attention and how much energy to each one. But there's times that if I collectively stick to one thing and I kind of put everything else on the back burner and I just stick to one thing, I seem to just concentrate, get really deep with it, understand it, and have results with it. You know, if I have a goal, I feel like I reach it when I'm going all in, when I'm putting all my eggs in that basket, pretty much. So for a while I was like, you know what? I need to do this right now. I need to focus on these tracks. I need to do all this stuff. So I started getting heavy with it, and then eventually I realized that I had like some music that I had never put out, and I had already like finished some stuff I just needed to polish. So basically I just decided, you know what? I'm going to do things differently. Before, I used to like promote it before I would drop it. And then I would play gigs and whatnot and to promote it. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to put it out and I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to put it out. And, you know, if people come across it, they're going to come across it. And I don't know. It's just for that aspect. And this is more like when you put on an album, you're basing, you know, you want sales, obviously. Like, you want this thing to sell, whatever. But when I put it out, I really didn't care too much about that. I was just like, I want to, whatever. My main focus is the agency, the placement. You know, that's my main focus right there. I'd rather get placement than having an album digitally just sitting there on a shelf online and not, you know, if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, it doesn't, whatever. But there's really no opportunities there. The opportunities are with the placements, because placement, you get placement on a commercial, on TV, on radio, on anything, everything needs music, you know. So that was a priority right there. So the model car thing, it kind of stopped for a little bit as far as me working on stuff. I was going kind of crazy with customizing my cars, chopping them, cutting them up. Like, I would cut one up and then I would get it, smooth it out, get it to a way where I'm like, oh, I love the way this looks. And then all of a sudden, I would like stare at another box and just look at it, you know, like I'm a wolf and like the box is the prey. And I was like, I'm going to devour this box and take the model out, you know, and I would like tear it up and then get this one and start working on it. Next, you know, I'm cutting this car up and I'm just cutting another one and another one and another one. And it was almost like that was my satisfaction right there, is just like taking it apart, assembling it back together and just sanding it and everything. Like, that was the process, you know, and just seeing it primered up to finalize it, I was like happy with that, you know. But it did get to a point where I was like, you know what, let me chill, because now I have like 6 to 7 cars just sitting there that who knows when I'm going to get back to even get to the paint process, you know. It's like I keep opening up more cars and it's just kind of holding me back. Besides that, little by little, it's just like I would come home and I would just be like pretty burned out, you know, from the drive, that by the time I got to work on my stuff, it's already late. I'm already like, you know what, I don't want to make a mess, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. And I don't like to procrastinate. I like to just do stuff, you know. I feel like every day or every night has to be productive. I always have to do something. Or else like I can't sleep. Like, I can't, you know, I gotta have something that I'm satisfied. Like, I did this, let's move on to the next phase tomorrow. So little by little, I started busting out with my Gundam figures. And it's a trip, because I always feel like my Gundam figures is like this safety net, you know, something I can fall back on. It's just something that I don't even know the storyline behind it. I know it's based off of an anime and all this stuff, and my friend Dennis Matthews, he's also like a big fan of Gundam. He knows more than me on that. He sends me clips of stuff and storylines and whatnot, and I do check it out, but I really never like watched the movies or the animes, the episodes. I never really ever watched any of it. I'm more fascinated by the figures with the detail, the panel lining, the photo etch pieces, you know. And when I started messing with these a while back, I started to understand the care, the patience for these figures, of modifying them, cleaning them, building them. And it taught me like a discipline that when I went back to my model cars, I was applying that same type of care and discipline into my cars to make them look cleaner, and just to be really happy with that satisfaction of like, wow, look the way this looks. So I did feel like the Gundam figures did teach me something, you know. And it's like whenever whenever you open one of these up, like if you guys out there are very curious or you guys see these at your model car shops, because a lot of these hobby shops, they carry them, and they do. The reason they carry them is because they're hot. Like, people are building these left and right. These are great, especially for kids too. You know, you don't have to paint them. A lot of these already come painted, and you just assemble them. You know, it's almost like how we have like the snap fit kits for like beginners. You just open them and you just snap fit everything, right? So the car is already like basically colored into the mold or whatever. It's kind of the same thing, but instead of being a level one, these are like level like a five. You know, it has tons of little pieces and stuff that you have to put it together. So it does take a while to put together, but it's very satisfying once you put it together. And when you have it done, you look at that thing and you go, oh yeah, that was cool. You know, that was fun. And then you start going on Instagram. Now you start seeing all the professional, you know, Gunpla builders that you're like, whoa, what the heck? Like, what kit is that? And then you find out it's the same kit you got, but these guys just took it to that next level, like beyond. And I compare that to like, you know, painting your, let's say you want to do a lowrider car, but you always do like a solid color with the rattle can. And then you see somebody bust out with their model car, you know, like Pancho Barón, like full of patterns that will just blow you away. And you're like, oh my God, like, how did he do that? How do you do that? You know, same thing with this Gundam stuff. It's like, it's not really the paint. It's more the details into the arms, the legs, the shields. It has all these lines. And when I look at those lines, it reminds me a lot of like the pattern work that's done when you're doing tape lines on the cars. So there's some slight similarities there. But if you're ever like stuck or burned out, it's a really cool thing to like mess with and work on and put together, you know? So from the Gundam figures, it opened up like this door in my head where I was like, oh, I want to explore what types of tools are these guys using, you know? And I started to binge watch videos and videos and videos, and also going on Twitter, on Facebook, any outlet source, just looking up, what are these guys using? How do they get it like that? I want to know exactly what they're using. And I start coming across Tsuji Burrito, God Hand Tools. Well, Tamiya was already using the Tamiya, but I'd say that God Hand Tools and the Tsuji Burrito are probably like two of the most popular, but also their tools, they're just like on a whole nother level, you know. And Tamiya's as well, but I feel like these tools are like more expensive, and like it's just like another level on top of Tamiya, which is crazy, you know. There's some other brands out there too, like Mr. Hobby, that are pretty dope, but I feel like these guys here, they focus and they specialize on their chisels, on their tweezers, their sanding sticks, their files. Like, there's certain things that they specialize in, and this is what we run with, you know. And when I started to see what they were doing with these tools, I was like curious, like, man, I need to get my hands on those, you know. I know I had some of the basics, like I started off with the God Hand sanding pads. And I want to say those are the ones that, you know, I was like, the name God Hand was just engraved in my head, you know, right when I was like sanding, I would look at that. And then even the packaging, it was just recorded in my head. And then it just like got engraved in there. I started looking up everything, like, what else do they make? What else? So I started looking up their nippers, their tweezers and all this stuff. And I have a lot of their production line, like a lot of the products that they've put out. I have a grand majority of them, And you know, for sure, you start off with like the more inexpensive ones, and then you start collecting them, and then you next thing you know, you're leading up to the most expensive pieces, most expensive tools that you're like, oh my God, like, am I really gonna pay that much for this? Like, I don't know. And then next thing you know, you're like buying it, you know? You get caught up because it's almost like that the collector's monkey's on your back. Like, I gotta get it. I gotta get it. So it's a trip, you know, talking with my friend Luis, you know, even him, he's like picking up God Hand tools and oh yeah, there's this other brand. Sorry. Now that just right that when I think of Luis, I think of this other brand, Infinii. Infinii, they make some really sick sanding sticks. And I believe it's they're from the company's from Korea. And that was a product that Luis and myself were geeking out over like 2, 3 weeks ago before he started. Like, I haven't even talked to him because he's in school now. He just started school. But and I want, you know, I don't want to bother him. But before that, that's all we were talking about is these sanding sticks, Infinii. And you guys check out his YouTube channel, because he has some like a little review and just showing you what he's rocking with those sanding sticks. But I'll talk more about that later. But yeah, so the tools, you know, he started picking up on these like tools from Japan and now the Infinii Korea tools and we're just like tripping out like, man, these are dope, you know? And we start using them on the cars little by little and we start getting results, you know? And after a while he would tell me like, man, like what are you gonna use this for? What's that for? You know, like you have all these tools. I don't even know what that's even for. It just looks kind of crazy. And I was just kind of explaining to mom like, oh well, this tool is for this, for the Gundam, but if you think about it, you can also use it for this. So we started buying like these Scribers. They're from Tsuji Burrito, and these are the BMC files. Or not a file, it's more like a panel line scriber, sorry. And there's different widths, you know, in millimeter and even like a 0.75, like not even reaching the 1 millimeter. And there's a lot in between the 1 and the 2 millimeter. So these are very, very like small scribers that are handmade in Japan and they sell out quick. Like once a model shop gets them, a specialty shop, they're gone. Like people buy these like crazy. And they're not cheap either. They're pretty expensive, you know. Not only do you have to buy the chisel on its own, you also have to buy a handle and you assemble them together, you know. You can use it without the handle, but in most cases, you're gonna need it for more better comfort, you know. And the smaller the size, if you get it really, really tiny, like really small, let me see what's the smallest one I have is a 0.075, and that size, and even like the 0.125, man, right there, that with the handle, you're spending about $50 right there just on one. And they have so many sizes, you know, that, you know, if you're going to be getting these, you're going to probably get one at a time or two, maybe. But within some months, if you keep finding them, you know, you're going to end up with maybe like 6 or 8 of these. And you're going to look back and be like, damn, this is like $600, $800 worth of stuff or whatever, you know? Because it's pretty expensive. But like all tools, you know, if you're really serious about model building, whether it's the cars, whether it's the Gundams, military, aircraft, if you're really, really like hardcore into it, you're gonna get those tools. Like it don't matter, you know, you might not jump on it right away, but within time, you're gonna get it because You might be you. I mean, the tools you have right now, you might be cool with those. But then later, you're gonna see something. You might try it out and be like, "Dang, this is a lot better than what I have." And eventually, you're gonna want to upgrade, you know. And you're gonna notice, man. Like I had to graduate the tools. You know, you have to graduate because I used to use a lot of the number 11 blades with my X-Acto knives. I don't even use those anymore. I use these other smaller blades. That Tamiya and this other, well, this company, it's called Ofa. They pretty much, I'd say they're like the people who supply or create things for Tamiya. Maybe it's the same company together, partnered up. But anything that I get that's like Tamiya, it's like the name Ofa pops up, sorry. It's there. So, I don't even know what these are called. Like, I mean, when I look them up, it comes up. Like, if you look up Tamiya designer knife, you should get some listings for that where you can view some images. But it's a small blade. I love it. I mean, this is primarily used for Gundam figures, but you can use it for anything. You know, it's very a universal hobby knife. And little by little, I've just been acquiring lots and lots of tools. Like, I'm very obsessed with the model tools. And I recently got these files that the top portion is like a plastic handle. Inside on the bottom, there's like it's like a Velcro piece. And then you have the sanding grit that also has the other half. So when you attach them together, it's basically like Velcro. If you could hear it right there, I'm pulling it apart, putting it back on, taking it off, putting it back on. So with this, oh damn, I'm sanding my finger already. Let's see what grit is this. This is what is this, 800 grit? So each one of these handles comes in different colors. And the grit itself will show you it underneath, it'll tell you the number. So this way you know what you're working with based on your colors of these handles. So I mean, since I sand and I do lots and lots of body work, I've been exploring all the different types of sanding sticks, you know? Different methods, different ways that of products that are out there to sand, everything from different shaped files, different size files from different companies, the same with the sanding. And I always trip out. Like back then when I was sanding, I was just using the regular sanding paper, and I was using just like my fingers right on the up, like pressing down on it to sand, to sand, to sand. And I'd be sanding with these big old chunks, and I'll be burning on the other side from the corner of the paper or whatever. And I was just like, dude, what am I doing? You know, I just kept messing up. Eventually, when Jeffries had recommended the God Hand sanding sponges when we were out in Japan, that basically was like a game changer for me right there. Once I started using those, knowing that I had that foam piece behind it, and it was very comfortable to rest my fingers and press it on there and just be able to manipulate the surface area that I was working with. You know, it was so cool that little by little I was like, you know what, I'm gonna start rocking with these damn files, start rocking with the files. And that was another changer, game changer right there. And then eventually you start coming across other companies making other stuff that you're like, wait, well, like, I wonder if I try that out. You know, instead of having foam in the center between the grit, now this one has a piece of wood. What would it do? You know, and eventually you start to really find like there is a reason why this product, people use it, why it's successful. And you start to see the results, like, and you just have to explore. I know most people just, they're just happy with like, cool, I got my number 11 blade and I got my nippers, and that's cool. But then if you start exploring and you try some other type of nippers that are sharper, you know, different kind of knife, and you start working on your stuff, and then you start getting these like different results, start executing, you're like, wait, what the heck? It just switches everything up that it's hard to go back. You just can't do it. It's just, I mean, you can't, but it gets tough. Like you're set on what just happened, that magic. And like a lot of these tools that I'm talking about, you know, I'm sure if you guys are curious as to where I get these from, there is a company based out in Northern California. They're called New Type HQ. If you follow me and if you've subscribed to my YouTube channel, the Scale Writers YouTube channel, I have videos on the tool hauls that I've been getting from them. And I've been letting people know, because sometimes people will message me or hit me up asking me, like, where did I get this tool? And that's the place. If you visit newtypehq.com, it is a Gundam store that specializes in the Gundam kits, tools. And, I mean, they have so much stuff, but they're bringing a lot to the table, you know, and they're making their presence be known pretty much in that scene. And I love going on their site. They have a lot of neat, cool things that I've never seen before. So I've been picking up a lot of stuff from them, because you can order from Japan, but it takes 2 weeks, sometimes a month, to get a package in from all the way out there. But you know, you pay like a couple more bucks and you could get this package from these guys here, you know, so it works out. And, but you know, it adds up. All this stuff adds up that you're like, man, I'm only buying like two tools or three, and it's already like at 60, 80 bucks, you know? And then you start to think like, man, I could be buying model car kits. Like I could buy like four model car kits with 80 bucks, you know, 20 bucks each. But it's like, I used to be like that, you know. I used to be buying car kits like crazy, like, oh, 10 bucks here, 20 bucks here, you know, oh, coupon, 15 bucks, 20 bucks, whatever. And I feel like, man, I should have invested more of my money into my tools from the beginning than later, you know. And at the end, I ended up with tons of model kits, but a lack of tools back then, you know. And now it's changing. Now it's more, my tools are matching up or even just taking over my model kits, where I don't have, I mean, I do have what I have, but I have gotten rid of a lot, maybe within the last couple months, I want to say. And I'm still like on that mission, you know. All this stuff that I have here that I've purchased, you know, and you guys that follow me on Instagram, you guys see when I post like, I just got this and I just got that. And it's not to show off, you know, because I know some of this stuff is expensive. I'm not trying to flex or anything. It's more just to introduce to you guys, like, hey, check it out. You know, this is a new tool that I got. And I'm hoping that it sparks some curiosity, that it will lead to maybe you guys visiting newtypehq.com and seeing that piece, or going on YouTube, looking it up, doing some research and finding out what this thing does, you know. And at the same time, if I've even talked about it on previous episodes, you'll get to see exactly what I'm talking about on that image that I post on my Instagram. So it's always for the good intentions when I post on there. But these tools, though, the way that I'm able to do this right now, that I'm acquiring to buy these at this very moment, is because I wouldn't say within the last like month or so, I've been, every time I visit like my parents, I'll look through my stuff, like old stuff that I left behind that is just there that I didn't even bring to where I'm living at right now. You know, these are things that I might have collected at some point in the past that I was into, not into anymore. And just things that are just sitting there, like in a closet or in the garage, in a box. And I was thinking to myself, and I was like, I'm not even into this. Should I just toss it, or should I, you know, give it to someone? What should I do to this? Then I decided, you know what? Let me put it on eBay. Let's see what happens. Like, if someone wants it, they can take it. It's all good, you know? Because it's really hard to sell something, to sell locally, you know? I feel like I have more success selling stuff out of my county lines or out of state lines. And I listed this stuff, and within the week I had the bids, things, it was gone, shipped it out. It's all done with. And one thing that I liked is that I ended up getting rid of something that was just sitting there, taking up space, taking up room in the house. Now it's gone. And with the money that I made, I have the option to either save the money or buy a tool, buy something that I'm going to use, you know? So it's almost like a trade-off. You're trading off things you no longer want and you're not interested in, and you're really getting something that you really want, you know? So it's been cool because, I mean, when I go to work, you know, you work all week, you get your paycheck, and a lot of times, you already know, I got to pay rent, I got to get groceries, the responsibilities you got to handle. You always got to handle your responsibilities. Once you got all that covered, and then whatever money you have left, it's up to you, you know. You can still be responsible and save that money, or you could just spend it on whatever, right? But you have to be very careful on what you spend it on. Sometimes I see a tool and I'm like, man, I want that, but I don't know if I want to spend that much on that with the money that I earned from working, you know? So I'd rather just save it or take care of whatever responsibility needs to be taken care of with it, you know? But when you get money from a trade, or not a trade, a sale, and it's almost like, cool, this is like my happy money. This is spending money. Now I could buy that tool because, you know, I sold something. You know, I didn't really have to like break my back or whatever. And so that's one thing that I've been doing. And I bring it up because maybe you should be doing the same thing as what I'm doing. You know, maybe you have something of value in your garage or in your bedroom that you don't even care about. And if you just list it online for a low price, you know, it can cause a bid war or whatever, you know, someone might just buy it for that, but you will get rid of it and you will be able to hold on to your earnings or purchase something that you really want from the hobby, you know? So that's one thing there. Another thing too is trading. If there's a model car that you want and you don't want to spend the money, or you just can't, or you don't have any money to spend on that because you got to handle those priorities and those responsibilities, then you never know. You might have something in your closet, you know, or in your, somewhere in your bench. If you think about it, you might be having like, let's say 367 Impalas, AMTs are just sitting there, you know, and maybe you built one or you opened one up, but you got two of them that are sealed. They're just sitting there, you know, nothing's going on. They still have the old school cover on there with the 67 Impala in blue, that gray background. You know, you could tell this is like a 90s box, but you're just holding on to them. And then next thing you know, Mobius drops the 65 Ford truck, utility truck with, you know, with everything in the back. And you're like, oh my God, I want that truck. And it's like $35, you know? And you're like, man, like, I really want that, but I don't know if I can afford it right now. And you keep holding back. And it's almost like, you know what? What if somebody has that 65 Ford and they just have it sealed sitting there? They bought it impulse buy, like, oh, I'm going to build it later. But then later they find out, man, I can't even build this thing. I don't have time. Or they regret it. You know what? Why did I even buy this 65 Ford? I'm not even into Fords. I'm a Chevy guy, you know, and next thing you know, he's like, yo, want to do a trade? Like, I'll trade you, you know, this truck for those 267s or whatever, something that will match the value of it or whatever, right? Or whatever it's cool with. You know, now you got rid of two things that were taking up space, and now you got one thing that is even like more valuable because this is something you really, really wanted. You know, you still have a 67, but you got rid of those other two, you know? And the more that I look at my collection, I see, man, I'm never going to build these. I already know it. I know it. It hurts, but I already know it, you know? And I'll be looking back like, man, I still remember when I bought this one, you know? When I bought this one, I grabbed it off the shelf. I had this vision in my head. I had all these colors in mind of what I wanted to do to it and whatnot. And now 3 years have passed and I still haven't even took that model kit out of the box. It's still there in the container, just chilling, waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, every time I open up that bin, it's almost like it's almost like going to a shelter. You know, like a dog shelter, like you open it and you're walking down the aisle and all the dogs are caged up, barking, crying, yelling or playing like pick me, same thing. You know, I open up the thing and all these model boxes are like shaking, like they want me to pick one up and see what's up, but it don't happen, you know? So it's just one of those things where I'm like, I'd rather just trade someone. You know, if someone wants a trade, cool, we can do a trade. If they want to buy it, that's fine with me too. But honestly, like, the only thing that kills me is the shipping. Because you could be shipping something like, you know, the size of a model, like, kit box or whatever. And it's like, I trip out on the post office, you know. They want a lot. Like, $15, 12 to $15 just for that thing. You know, especially if you're just doing it priority mail, it's like, damn, that's a lot, you know, and I don't want to do that to someone that's in the model car community. You know, I would feel bad. I don't want to be like, yeah, man, I'll sell you this, but shipping's super expensive. Like, nah, you know, that's why I don't really promote me personally. I don't really be promoting stuff, but you never know. Watch tomorrow, I'm all promoting, you know, but I mean, anybody, you know, we have the freedom. We could do whatever we want. You know, it's just right now, for me, it would just be easier to trade, you know, somebody. If somebody wants some stuff that I have that I just don't really care for and stuff. But yeah, one of these days when I get a chance, I'm going to have to do like an inventory check. I'm going to have to set apart the ones I'm going to keep and then the ones that are like, these got to go. You know, no rush. But, you know, eventually they will got to go and stuff. But, you know, just make sure that you spend your money wisely on anything, you know. I know that a lot of people are into photo etch stuff, and that's dope. Like, I love the detail, you know. I wish I could add tons of detail to my cars, but sometimes I just cannot afford all the photo etch stuff, you know. Over the years, I've acquired, you know, a lot of photo etch pieces, and I keep them. Eventually, I use some of them, but I just feel like I'm not ready yet to take the plunge to go deep into the murky waters, you know, on the deep end of the pool to dive in to you know, start messing with like a full on photo etch stuff. That will come one day, but not right now. You know, right now the priorities are a little different. My eyes are set more onto the tools to execute what I need to do for these cars, to shape them up and get them up and going and make this process a lot faster, because I don't want to spend too much time on it either. You know, I need to change the pace of not completing one car in a year. I need to change it to at least 2, 3, or 4 cars in a year. You know, even on top of the burnout phases, I have to figure something out. So I'm hoping that, you know, with these tools, that I start to speed up that process and it starts to happen. But a lot of times I'm just getting a kick out of seeing what I have and putting it to use. You know, it's almost like magic. It's just seeing it happen right in front of your eyes. So I'm really always stoked to mess around with this stuff right here. And I always like, homies hit me up, yo, you know, where do you get that, or what the heck is that? I always like talking about it. I like mentioning, like, you know, what it is, whatever. And sometimes if I have time, like, you know, I might find a video and I'll hit you with it, like, yo, check it out. But if I don't, it's like, probably there's no video for it, you know, or something. But if I find an article or something, you know, I try my best to hit people back with it. Sometimes it's tough to, like, hit up everybody. I'm not trying to say, like, I get thousands of emails or DMs or messages or whatever, nothing like that. But it's just, sometimes it's tough being able to respond to, like, everything. The combination of the messages from Facebook, combination messages from Instagram, you know, and not just the Scale Writers account, but also my personal account. And it's just like, you know, when I'm at work, like, yeah, you know, when I'm at work, I'm handling work, but sometimes I jump on and stuff, but I'm trying not to too much. I'm trying to just be like, you know what, let me just focus on what's in front of me right now, which is work. And, you know, I'll later when I get a break or something, I'll start looking stuff up. You know, I don't want the phone to consume me too much. I need to control that right there. But I did record a podcast last night with Spanx. This is going to be for episode 87. It's going to be dropping this weekend. Very excited, very happy. We locked this one down and it's going to be coming out. And if you guys want to check him out, on his Instagram, before you listen to the podcast of the episode, look him up. He's on Instagram as El Spanx. And check out his work. Check out what he's been doing from the past leading up to now. And I hope that visually, when you see his Instagram, it now you'll know what he's talking about, and he'll paint that picture in your head when you're listening to him speak about his model cars and just, you know, what he's been up to right now, because they do have the Cadillac Fest 9, I'd say. Yeah, number 9 coming up, an event that we do talk about. More information on that episode that's going to be dropping this weekend. So make sure you check that one out right there. I feel like I pretty much covered a lot of the stuff, because I always make my notes and I try my best to write stuff like, you know, make sure you don't, like, miss this, miss that, you know. And at the same time, it just feels good to talk about all this stuff. I mean, we all love this stuff. This is all great. This is awesome. And I wanted to give a shout out to my Patreon supporters, George Vision 124, Dave McGowan, David. On Instagram, he's Mission District, and also Andres Camarillo. I wanted to thank you guys for continuing to support me on the Scale Writers Patreon page. With your guys' support, you know, it helps to keep the lights on with Scale Writers, not only with the equipment, but like the maintenance of the podcast and just a lot of things, dude. Like, you guys are killing it, helping me out with this stuff right here. I highly appreciate that. And, you know, hopefully in the future, more videos will be coming out as far as like the interviews. You know, I know that right now it's like more like a two-dimensional, like sideways angle that we're capturing in the videos. But I know that down the road, my goal is to be able to get more equipment, to be able to get these side angles and stuff, you know, start stepping it up, moving it up to another level, but little by little, you know, because, it's gotta go slow. It can't just be all of a sudden, because you need to appreciate with what you have currently, you know, and they move from there. So when you look back, you're schooled on what you have at hand, and then you have a better idea of tackling the new equipment that you have to move forward with, you know. But I couldn't have done it with you guys, and also you guys that are the listeners. If you guys want to support on the Patreon page, you can. If you just got to go on the website, I believe it's, I think if you just go on patreon.com and you search like Scale Riders, it should come up, you know. But I'll post a link somewhere in the description as well, so you guys can see. But there's different tiers that I have set up on there. But thank you guys for listening. This was the bonus episode that I wanted to hit you guys off with. I know that by the time you're listening to this, it's already gonna be like Wednesday, getting through the week, like just like before, getting through that week, you know. And I just hope that when you guys listen to these podcasts, that it inspires you guys to keep on building, having fun, even if you're not building because, like me, you're burned out right now. You know, just show your other friends love, see what they're doing, cheer them on, maybe clean your bench, clean your tools, take inventory of what you have or what you need, you know, start looking at your paints, maybe pick them up, shake them up, agitate them a little. If you haven't been painting from time to time, it's pretty good to do that. Agitate them, make sure that everything's working good. Maybe if you haven't been spraying with your rattle cans, flip them upside down and back or shake them up. Just, you know, try to preserve what you have. Organize your kits. Maybe decide if you're going to downsize on some or if you're going to trade some. You know, there's always something to do to keep you occupied with this hobby. And at the same time, sometimes too, you know what's one thing that's very refreshing, and maybe I should do this right now that I'm thinking about it. It's always good to rearrange your bench, switch it up. If you're in your bedroom, and let's say you're working out of your room, and you have a window with a nice view, but you have your bench over here like hitting the wall, so all you see is the wall and what's in front of you. Sometimes it helps to rearrange the room, move stuff around, maybe put the bench facing the window. So when you're sitting out, you're working on your stuff, but when you want to take a break, you can always look out the window, maybe wave at a neighbor or something, you know, like keep switch it up. Maybe the way you have your stuff set up on your desk, it's been like that for years, that it's just like, it gets kind of boring. And then you switch stuff up, you move, you know, one thing from the left side over to the right, and then the right to the left. And next thing you know, it's like you have like, oh man, this is like refreshing. It's all different. Damn, I was already thinking about the Contra code from the Nintendo, from the NES. It was like up, down, no, what was it? Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA or something like that, or AB. And then select and start. I think I messed that up. But those of you who played Contra back in the day with the NES will know what I'm talking about. But I think I messed that up. That was like the unlimited lives that you would get if you punched in that cheat code on the game controller at start. But anyway, yeah, so think about switching up some stuff in the desk. Maybe you have too much stuff that you need to get rid of some of that clutter to free up the bench. Maybe you need a better chair. Maybe that's the problem. You might have a chair that's too stiff or not very mobile that you need to switch up, you know, or maybe you need some better lighting as well. You know, just analyze your workspace and you know, see what works, see what's going to happen. But at the same time, I'm not telling you to go out there and buy a $1,000 desk or a chair, right? I don't want you guys to be spending, going crazy like that. But, you know, it's just little subtle things that you might need some little changes right there that are going to help. And man, it's almost like getting a haircut, you know? It's like you might be like, whatever, like, man, like, you know, you've had my hair like this for quite a while. You're rocking the same shoes. The shoes are probably dirty or whatever. They're so broken in. But the minute you get a new pair of shoes, it's like, you're on, what's up, you know? You get a haircut, what's up? You're sharp. You're out there looking good. There you go. Might need to adjust the desk. Who knows? But anyway, if you guys have any questions or whatever, you guys want to say what's up, make sure you hit me up on Instagram, 65Lokes. Look me up. Hit me with the DM. And it's probably easier to find me there than it's through the Facebook Messenger for the Scale Riders. That one's not that it's hard, but it's just I don't really go on there too much. I'm more on the Instagram, so just hit me up there and I'll hit you guys back. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned. This weekend another episode, then after that another episode, and then after that another episode. By November, next thing you know, we'll be hitting number 100. All right, guys, have a good day, a good week. Stay tuned, and we'll catch you soon. Peace.